welcome to the AOL podcast. Let's dive right into this week's message.
A chicken and a pig walking down the road together. And the chicken, they're walking down the road and they see in this grocery store, it says, bacon and eggs needed. The chicken looks at the pig and says, oh my gosh, we have what they need. And the chicken is great to give an offering. But the pig began to sweat a little bit. And he said, hey, we got to go in there. I have some eggs. You have some bacon. Let's give this to them and let's give a contribution. And the pig said, that's just it. You're giving a contribution. What I have to give is my life. Can I tell you, in 2024, if you give God your life, I'm telling you, we need more pigs in the room than we need chickens. Amen. My dad used to say this to me as a kid. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, it'll take the chicken out of you. I don't know about you, but I want to go into 2024 giving him all of my life and dying to the things that have brought me places that I can't have anymore in my life. Are you guys awake this morning? So this is it. It says, this command I am giving you today is not too difficult for you. I mean, I'll believe it's not too difficult for you. And it is not beyond your reach. It's not kept in heaven, so distant that you must ask, who will go up to heaven and bring it down so we can hear it and obey? It's not kept beyond the sea, so far away that you must ask, who will cross the sea to bring it to us so we can hear it and obey? No, the message is very close and at hand. It's on your lips. And it's in your heart so that you can obey it. He said, now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply. Come on, can I declare in 2023, live and multiply. I just want to go ahead and tell you this. You'll know I'll have like a business meeting with you guys and know everything that happened in 2023 and where we're going in 24 to give you vision. But I just want to go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. Do you know that we as a body of Christ gave more than we've ever given in the history of AOL? We gave over $1 million. A million four. In the worst economic times, you know why? Because we serve a God that multiplies. Come on. We serve a God that adds and multiplies. If you're serving a God that divides and minuses, you're serving the wrong God. But I'm here to tell you this morning, if you choose life, you get multiplication with that. We ought to give God a bigger praise that in 2024, it's going to be bigger than it was in 2023. And it says, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. Now I want to go ahead to chapter 31 and verse 6. It says, so be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally, this is for somebody in the room, receive this by faith. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you and never abandon you. In 2024, I believe God's going and making a way before us. It's what the Lord's just been putting in my heart. Is there is doors that have been shut in your life for a reason. New doors are about to open. Be ready to go for it. God, I pray right now. I speak life over these people right now. That they are the head and not the tail. They are above only and not beneath. I pray, God, that you live and move and have your being in this time this morning. God, I pray that the lame walk. I pray that the blind see, the deaf hear, the mute speak. I pray that the dead would rise. Not only physically, God, but we ask spiritually in Jesus' mighty name. That person that's walked with a limp all its life, lame, spiritually because of something that was spoken over them, God, we pray that today as life goes forth, as light breaks into darkness, God, miracles happen in this room today. Use us, lead us, guide us. May we leave here forever changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, why don't you find somebody? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Shake their hand. Lie to them. Say, you look like you've lost weight. Have you lost weight? You look like you've lost 20 pounds. Whatever you're doing for goals in 2024 is working. It's working. Amen, amen. Hey, Cody. Praise the Lord. Well, who's happy to be in the house of the Lord today? Hey, 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 hey. You guys all look good out there. Hey, haven't we already had church? We celebrated new life. And man, it's an honor to be in the house today. Well, there's a few things I don't want to share with you, and we'll get into the word. The first one is this. Tonight, we are having a service to break the fast. And we will have, well, I know we didn't have donuts today, but we'll have rolls as you come in the front doors when the rolls are called up yonder. We'll be there. No, I'm kidding. But tonight we're going to have a service at 6 o'clock. The Lord's put some things in my heart to prophesy for 2024, what I believe the Lord showed me, to prepare our hearts. And I told you last week, can you not give God 1 week? And I hope all of you have fasted this week. We've prayed in the mornings. I want to thank every person that was here in the mornings at 7 o'clock to pray with us. We had Bo, Heather, we had great times in the Lord, didn't we, this morning? Johnny, Doc, those of you that were faithfully here every single morning, Sharon and John, you guys know who you guys are. And thank you for being here as we begin to pray. Those of you that slept in, we prayed for you. And those that were here for prayer, you get to go to heaven. Praise the Lord. All right. No, I'm kidding. But so tonight, we'll have children's church and all that, but I want to invite you guys to be here. It'll be a great time of worship and prayer, just dedicating to the Lord. How many of y'all know we dedicated years of our life to the enemy? How many of y'all know we can give him 1 week a year, right? Amen? I don't know about you. If you didn't give a lot of years of your life to the enemy, you did it wrong. You sinned wrong, all right? I would show you how to do it, but I'm past that. Praise the Lord. The second thing is this. I don't know if you saw our guests with us. We had some petitions out here. They had asked us if we would be a part of making Amarillo, Texas, a sanctuary city for the unborn. And I said, sign us up. We are all about pro-life. And if that offends you, stick around. I'm sure I'll offend you at something other I say, okay? But we believe in pro-life in this house. And what's happened is I believe Amarillo, Texas is going to become a sanctuary city for the unborn, but it's kind of stuck inside the downtown politics. And what this is going to do is kind of release them of us signing, saying we're behind you. So if you're a voter, if you're a registered voter, and you live in the city limits of Amarillo, you can sign that. We'd love to get some signatures from you. Amen? Well, the next is this. I actually got a call from a good friend of mine yesterday. Or actually, I reached out to him because I knew he was deer hunting in McLean, Texas. And anyways, it's Buck Trice. And he said, hey, I'm coming to church in the morning. And I said, well, I can't have a Trice in church and not minister the gospel. I said, I would love to have you. Those of you that have been in this house for very many years, one of the foundational men in this house is Ronnie Trice, his granddaddy. And how many of y'all been blessed by the teaching and preaching of Ronnie Trice? I know I have. And his dad, Mark Trice, is, and I'll tell you, after hearing the message this morning, the anointing of granddaddy and his daddy is all over him. And I'm telling you, you're going to be blessed by the word today. I was thinking about it, Buck. We've been a lot of miles together. Yeah, we spent some time at Ute Lake. I mean, we've been all over the country, really. A lot of things. I've done things that I regretted. You did too. Praise the Lord. We repented. Went before an altar. I was thinking about it. We've been coyote hunting, all kinds of different stuff. Gabe and Kenny one time at 2 in the morning, they took me out there. I'm the fattest one, and I froze to death. And I mean, he's a man's man, a man's man. Like, go to his house, you're going to shoot ARs, 50 calibers, and have a big time. But I also want to say this about Buck. One of the most impressive times that I ever saw him was at a youth camp. and he opened the floor for questions and answers. And he was, you were young. You were, what, you 20, 24, 25 years old? And I was thinking, I did not have the cojones to do that when I was his age, for sure. And he was answering questions on flat earth. In fact, that's what he's going to preach on this morning, is flat earth. No, I'm kidding. That was a joke. All right. But he answered some amazing stuff. And I thought, man, this young man is full of wisdom. And he's a great daddy. He's a good husband. He's a good friend to me. And I believe you're going to be blessed. I hope you wore your steel-toed boots today, because you are going to be blessed by the ministry and the anointing. He had to switch shirts because he sweated through the first one, so we had to give him a marked shirt. But will you stand to your feet and honor the man of God as he comes forth this morning and ministers the gospel to us.
Thank you.
Honored to have you, man.
Thank you. Y'all may be seated. Thank you all so much. Just want to honor where honor is due, and thank Pastor Ty and Luann, and obviously thank Pastor Travis and Miss Brandy, and allowing me to stand in the pulpit and bring the word to you this morning. And so we are talking on choices, and this morning I want to tell you to choose change. Everybody say, you need a change. I didn't know I was going to take it literally. I changed after the last service. It got pretty hot in here, but how many of y'all know it's hotter than hell? So I want you to flip with me to Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. And so we're going to choose change this morning. And Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, this is what the word of the Lord says. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Everybody say, it's my reasonable service. Listen, the other service, man, they were here before y'all and they were awake. I need y'all to wake up. Everybody say, it is my reasonable service. And then it goes on and says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Everybody say, be transformed. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. Everybody say, I got something to prove. That you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So let me ask you this. When is the last time in your life you chose to have a life acceptable to God and not your idea of what you think God deems acceptable? Oh, man, we're going to have some church this morning. I hope you're ready. You see, it's somehow worked its way into the Western culture is that We believe that God will begin to shift things and begin to accept things. When we know that the Word of God says God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And what ends up happening is we begin to shift our lives to make sure we fit in with the cultural norm. But what the Word of God says, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Everybody say, be transformed. So when is the last time your mind was holy and presentable to the Lord? When was the last time you bridled your tongue and you actually spoke life instead of death? When was the last time you turned off the filth on TV and prioritized the Word of God? You see, it's easy to get caught up in social media. It's easy to get lost in the sauce on TikTok. It's easy to binge watch our Netflix show. But why is it we lose pursuit when we open a Bible? Why is it that we'd rather hunt, we'd rather go to work, we'd rather do these things in life that only bring a momentarily satisfaction than to pursue the very thing that gives us life. You see, you have to choose change. The Bible, it talks about it and it goes in and it says, do not be conformed. And I want to break that word down for you this morning. That word conformed on dictionary.com, it says, conformed means to comply with rules, standards or laws, or to behave according to socially acceptable conventions or standards. So right off the bat, the Word of God is saying, do not be conformed, meaning do not change God's rules, do not change God's laws, do not change God's standards to fit today's society. So do not be conformed. Everybody nudge your neighbor and say, don't conform. So do not conform to this world, but be transformed. You see, that word transform, it means a thorough or a dramatic change in the form, appearance, or character of. Some could argue that it's mentally, physically, and emotionally. It changes your character. It changes your morality. Things have to change. And then if you go a little bit deeper and begin to study it, the Greek word for transformation is actually metamorpho. Everybody say metamorpho. All right, congratulations. You are now a dual-lingual person. You speak two languages. But that word means transformed or transfigured by a supernatural change. You see, when you accept Jesus Christ in your life, it's not just a religious motion, it's not just a religious notion, but it is a supernatural transformation that takes place on the inside. And so it has to be a transformation or to be transfigured. And that word transfigured means to transform something into something more beautiful and elevated. So let me ask you this real quick, church. When you accepted Jesus Christ, or even in your walk today, is your life more beautiful and is it become elevated? Has the old thing passed away? And are you a new creation? Did you choose to change or did you choose to stay the same? You see, when you step into the kingdom of God, God does make it simple. He says to believe in your heart and to confess with your mouth. But there is action that has to be involved. You see, we got to be transformed. You see, if all you ever did or all you ever do is just go to church and there's no evidence of repentance or salvation, then all you did was go through religious motions. And that's not the gospel Jesus Christ went to the cross for. You see, you have to have a supernatural transformation. You see, transformation is a supernatural renewing of the mind. You see, it's easy. I've always done it this way. I'll always do it this way. We all have the saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You've all experienced life. You've all walked life, and you have your way and your standards. You have your own set morals or what have you. But all too often is that when you enter into the kingdom of God, there has to be a supernatural renewal. It has to be transformed. You see, and it is vital. You see, the Bible talks about it all across the book. It says that you have to take every thought captive. You have to renew your mind. The Bible tells us that we have to sacrifice our flesh daily. And then twice if you go into traffic. But it has to be a renewal. It has to be a transformation. You can't have the same mindset and expect to walk in the authority and the anointing of the Lord. You can't walk in with righteousness when you're living unholy. It has to be a transformation in your life. You see, only when the Holy Spirit renews, re-educates, and redirects our minds will truly be transformed. There has to be a renewal. There has to be a new direction. And you have to re-educate. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, you're about to learn something. That's good old Southeast Texas slang right there. About to get learned. But that word renewing, it's the replacing or repair of something that is worn out. How many of y'all have ever been worn out in your life? How many of y'all have ever experienced life and you feel like you've been beaten, you've been broken, you've been run down? How many of y'all need a renewing? I know I need a renewing. You see, God is going to take every broken piece in you. He's going to take all the run down and beaten, broken feelings. He's going to replace and repair every worn out thing in your life mentally, emotionally, and physically. And he's going to create something new and beautiful. But it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't just happen spontaneously. I want you to write this down. And before you throw rocks, I promise you I'm going to circle back to it. Don't get mad. But here's what I mean. Prayer alone will not cancel ignorance. Some of y'all, that went over your head. I need everybody to reach up. Everybody in there, everybody put your hands up. All right, I need everybody to look. Some of y'all in the back, like, I ain't doing that. Look, you're not going to heaven. I'm looking right at you. Oh, yeah, there you go. Okay, all right. All right, now grab it and pull it back down. All right, now you have no reason to not catch what I'm about to say. Y'all see what y'all just did? All right. Prayer alone will not cancel ignorance. You see, prayer is your communication between you and God, but somewhere along the lines in the Western culture, it has become more like your one-way phone call to bail you out of jail, justifying yourself back into the same sin. We run to the Father and we see him as a get-out-of-jail-free card or a get-out-of-hell-free card. But that's not what it is, and prayer alone will not cancel your ignorance. How many of y'all know what the definition of insanity is? It's doing the same thing over and over and over and always expecting a different outcome, but yet you get the same results. Now, that thing that you pursue, it could be addiction. It could be alcohol. You're going to find something to fill this void. It could be pornography. It can be sex. It could be whatever. You can have an idol in your life, but you keep searching, and you keep searching this world to fill this void. But yet you live a life of insanity. It will always bring in you circling back, and that's initially what it is. When you live your life set for the world, it's a vicious circle. You always come back to where you started. You hit rock bottom, you come back up. Well, you think the new girlfriend, the new boyfriend, you think the new job, you think the new opportunity. God forbid you left a church that preached the truth, so you're going to find a different church that preaches something that's washed down to make you feel better. But you see, things are gonna have to change. You're gonna have to make a choice, and the choice is yours. I want you to write this down. I have this God-imparted revelation from the throne room above. You ready? Change happens when change happens. Some of you are like, makes no sense. Change happens when change happens. Stop living a life of insanity. You want things to happen in your life, and what happens is we get. We run to the Father, or we go to intercede, or we pray, God, take these things from me, and then we sit right back down in our pew, and we expect God to do it all, and he will. God says that he'll never leave us, and he'll never forsake us, but there are things that you are going to have to do in your life. You are going to have to prove something. It is your reasonable service. It says that you may prove what is the good, acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit, what's that next word? What's that next word? It says, likewise, the Spirit also, what's that word? Helps? Say it again, helps. It doesn't do it. He helps us. Doesn't says that the Spirit also does it for us, also provides these things. No, but it says he helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He doesn't do it for us. You see, some of y'all treat the Holy Spirit and your prayer life like he's the life alert button. The only time you hit that button is when you're falling down and you can't get up. Well, listen here, Grandma Ethel. If there's an Ethel in service, I'm sorry, we'll pray for you. Should have picked a cooler name. But some of you are hitting that life alert button, and that's the only time you begin to pray in your life, and you expect God to pick you up and to move you, and he will. He'll pick you up, and he'll put you on a rock to stay. But into that, you have to choose to walk the walk. You can't just talk the talk. So too often, we have crosses on our neck. We got scriptures in our bio on social media. We got Arena of Life stickers on our church or on our cars. We go to church. We know how to lift our hands. We actually may even know how to quote scripture. You have it written everywhere except for on your heart. Is it written on your heart? You see, when you step into the kingdom of God and when you make that supernatural change, you're going to have to realize that there are some things in your life you can't do anymore. You see, the Holy Spirit is to help us and to guide us, but to keep drinking and to keep going out to bars is complete foolishness. You can't keep the same circle of influence and expect to further your walk with God. There has to be a dramatic change in your life. Change how you talk. Change how you act. Change how you react. Change what you see. Change what you listen to. Change who you hang out with. There has to be change. Change happens when change happens. You have to begin to shift some things in your life. And here's the deal. What we do is we come to the altar, we give our life to Christ, and then we expect God to take everything away. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he's waiting on you to prove. Are you worthy? Are you actually going to do what your mouth says you're going to do? It's easy to confess. It's hard. It's hard to live for the kingdom. How many of y'all want to die and go to heaven? I said this earlier. Everyone in here is willing to die and go to heaven, but are you willing to live for the Lord here upon this earth? Everybody wants to go to heaven, but yet a lot of times our life doesn't match up what we're wishing for. And here's the deal. If you're here in the church, the goal to get to heaven is the base level starting goal. That should never be just your goal to get to heaven. Jesus even gave us an opportunity, and he prayed. And this is what he prayed. He said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come here upon earth. Thy kingdom come here on earth. Thy will be done." You're supposed to be heaven on earth. You are supposed to be the reflection of who Jesus Christ is. You're supposed to be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. You see, there has to be a dramatic change. Otherwise, you live a life of insanity. Proverbs 26:11 says, "Like a dog returning to its vomit, a fool repeats his folly." That's a life of insanity. And then the Bible calls you a dog. Proverbs 15:14 says, "The discerning heart seeks knowledge, but the mouth of a fool feeds only folly." What are you seeking? What are you speaking? The Bible says you have power of life and death in the tongue. Are you speaking life or are you speaking foolishness? You see, a wise man seeks knowledge, but a fool feeds on foolishness. So back to what I was saying is a prayer alone will not cancel ignorance. It will not cancel your ignorance. I want to read a quote to you, and it's by Paul Washer. He said this: "So many people in this country believe their lives to be changed and born again because we've so reduced the gospel of Jesus Christ that it means now nothing more than a simple decision that will only take 5 minutes of your time." This is absolute nonsense, foolishness. It takes a lifetime of commitment. It takes a lifetime of consistency. It takes a lifetime of work and commitment. Faith without is dead. Faith without, I'm gonna wait till everybody gets here. Faith without, you got to do it. You got to be doers of the word. All too often as we come in here and we sit in the pews, we expect Pastor Travis, we expect the next pastor, we expect the youth pastors, we expect the children's pastors, all to feed us and that be it. Some of you, the only source of the gospel is what you get on Sundays and what you get in small groups or what you get on a Wednesday night. And that is not enough. You have to have a relationship. Imagine physically if you only ate twice a week. You couldn't do the things you do. You'd shrivel up your nutrients and you would, which I mean, I probably need to cut out a few things. I probably need to do a fast myself. I just buy a bigger shirt so it looks like I'm losing weight. Sorry, the Holy Spirit's like gone now. But back at it, but imagine if all you did was physically eat twice a week. You'd shrivel up. You would die. You would be malnutritious. But why do we expect to thrive spiritually if that's all we feed ourselves is twice a week? It has to be a relationship. I didn't meet my wife and say, "Hey, you're gorgeous. Will you marry me?" I had to interact. I had to get to know her. I had to build that relationship. I had to know what she liked and disliked. She disliked a lot of things. But praise God, she liked me somehow. So I put a ring on her finger before she smartened up. See, it's not just 5 minutes of your time. It's a relationship. It's every day of your life. It's to worship. It's to praise him. It's to seek him in everything, in all that we do. So Paul Washer goes on. He says, the question is not do you know if you're a sinner? The question is this: since you've sat under the preaching of the gospel, has God so worked in your heart that the sin you once loved, you now hate? He goes on and says, has God done such a supernatural work in your heart that God you once hated and ignored, you now desire and esteem worthy above all things? See, this is transformation. This is repentance. This is evidence of salvation. It requires action. Here's the beauty of the gospel. It's your choice. The Bible says he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The King of kings and the Lord of lords means he has absolute dominion, absolute reign, absolute authority. But it's your choice. Are you going to live in that authority? Are you going to follow under the command? You got choices to make, but will you choose change? Because a lot of times what happens is we'll come to church and we'll expect a feel-good message, and then we're ticked off if we actually feel conviction. I'm not going to go to that church anymore. I don't want to go. You're not mad at the pastors. What you're actually mad at is God. We're just the messengers. We just present it. Bible says iron sharpens iron, so a friend will sharpen a friend. This is what church is. This is a sharpening process so you can go back out into the world and be the church. All too often, I tell my teenagers, I tell them like this, is I will preach on specific things, and I will do sermon series, and I will talk on topics. And this morning, we're talking on salvation and repentance, and a lot of you have been in church for a long time. And you're like, well, that doesn't attest to me. But what happens is God is sharpening you. He's taking iniquities out of you. And he's preparing you, and he is adding arrows to your quiver. Because when you go back out into the world, you need an arsenal. All too often, we leave the church because I don't want to hear that. Only a baby can't feed himself. There's always something to eat. Says a lot about your spiritual maturity if you can't find something out of the word. Now, don't get me wrong. You got to make sure that you have a pastor and a preacher that's preaching the uncompromised word. And here at Arena Life, you absolutely do. But it is not Pastor Travis's relationship and your relationship with God. It's your relationship with God. This is the sharpening process. This is the healing process. But faith without is dead. A lot of you say you have faith but have no works. And you're sitting there feeling defeated, feeling broken. And you're wondering why, but you never truly allowed God to change you from the inside out. Turn with me to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. You see, God, I want you to write this down. God isn't the accessory to your life, but the priority of your life. See, a lot of times we just throw God on Sunday. We're going to church, we'll put God back on. Yet we live a completely different lifestyle on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Well, I'm going to go around with my church people. I'm going to put God back on. And yet we think that God is an accessory to our life, and we have to shift our mind. We can't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And we got to allow that renewal process to realize that God is the priority of our life rather than the accessory. You got to put on the full armor of God every single day. What has happened is we've created this Western culture to where we just want people in the pews rather than in the kingdom. We've become churches, and I'm talking about churches abroad. I'm not talking about this church, but I'm talking, we've become churches where we'd rather pass out participation trophies than pass out the armor of God. You see, you are going to face a battle. It could be internally. It could be physically. You could face a battle at Walmart, and God knows you need the full armor of God at Walmart. But if you are not spiritually equipped, why do you feel like you are going to succeed? You see, we have this idea that, well, God never leaves us nor forsakes us, and he doesn't. But all too often, how many times do we leave him and how many times do we forsake him? God always does his part. God always pulls through. But it is your choices. It is your choice whether you're going to follow after the Lord or you're going to keep doing the same old, same old. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5, it says, this is the message which we heard from him and declare to you, that God is light. Everybody say light. And in him is no what? At what? At all. There's no darkness at all. Darkness and light do not coexist in the kingdom of God. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom and expect to live in his to live holy and righteous. It goes on and tells you that you're only fooling yourselves. You see, light represents what is good and pure and true and holy and reliable. Darkness obviously represents what is sinful and what is evil. The statement that God is light means that God is perfectly holy and true, and that he alone can guide us out of the darkest of darkness. You see, light is also related to the truth, in that light exposes whatever exists, whether it be good or bad. You see, in the dark, good and evil look alike. I said this earlier this morning. It's no coincidence that the world wants to preach acceptance. The world wants to preach love, yet they don't want to accept or love anything to do with the gospel. They want to teach you that homosexuality, you're born with it. It's okay. We got churches across the world preaching that homosexuality is accepted now and that God accepts it. We got a world that wants to tell you that pedophilia is acceptable now. We got a world that's telling you that, well, if your boy feels like a girl, he can be a girl, and if you go against that, we'll take your kid away from you. There's so much evil, and the world sees evil as good. You see, when you're in the darkness, you can't comprehend. They look the same. But when you live in righteousness, you have discernment. You know what is righteous, you know what is holy, and you know what is unholy. But all too often, what happens as believers and as Christians is we live that lukewarm lifestyle. The Bible goes on and talks about it in Revelation. It says, I wish you were either hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, it says that I'll vomit you out of my mouth. Meaning that you are instantaneously separated from the Father. You're out of his presence. You're out of the will of the Father. You are not set to inherit the kingdom of God anymore. You see, if we want a relationship with God, we have to put to death our sinful ways of living. Right? We have to have that true transformation. I once was lost, but now. I once was blind, but now I. There has to be a complete 180 in your life. Blindness and seeing, lost and found is a complete 180. But we believe that we can come to the Father and we can pray the prayer of repentance and have a get out of hell free card. That's not what the gospel is about. That's not what Jesus went to the cross for. It's all or nothing. And the beauty of the gospel is it's your choice. What are you going to choose? You see, to claim that we belong to him, but we go out and live ourselves or live for ourselves is the utmost hypocrisy. To walk in darkness is to persist in sin. I want you to write this down. We can't love God and date sin at the same time. They don't coexist. Dual relationships have never worked. Why do you think God will accept it? Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. It doesn't matter what the cultural norm is. It doesn't matter what society it is. It doesn't matter what the world is conforming to. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Just because you have an opinion doesn't matter. You can have opinions. The scribes and the Pharisees had opinions on Jesus. They had Jesus Christ in the flesh and yet missed what he was preaching. This morning, I have the truth, and the Bible says to know the truth, and he'll set you free. A lot of you have been living in bondage for way too long. You think that you're in right standing with the Lord. You think that you have a relationship with the Lord, yet you're only fooling yourselves. You see, we can't love God and date sin at the same time. You got to make a choice. Verse number 7, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses from all sins. You see, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive who? Who do we deceive? You're not going to deceive me. You're not going to deceive Pastor Travis. The only person you're truly hurting is yourself. And what you're doing is you're following this. Oh, my train of thought just left. You're following this idea of what you think the gospel is, and ultimately a lot of you are just following religious tradition rather than having a true encounter with the Holy Spirit, having him help you and guide you and protect you, but ultimately listening to what he has to say, ultimately giving your life fully to the gospel. You see, to walk in the light is to live consistent with God's commandments and characters. We can't just sit back and expect God to do it all. You got to walk. Verse number 7, it says, but if we, it says we walk. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, as God is our example, if we imitate that and we reflect what God has done, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from how much? All sins. And in verse number 8, it says, and if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So does your actions match what your mouth speaks? Because all too often we claim that we're good with the Lord, but we're the furthest thing away from it. We point the finger to the world, yet we can't even look into the mirror. It's easy to point someone else's sins out, but yet you've yet to see the plank in your own eye. All too often we preach about the world, but it starts here. It starts in the church. See, all too often we claim that we're good, but we're the furthest thing from it. If there is no truth, there is no freedom. The Bible tells us to know the truth. To know the truth and you'll find freedom. But that word, to know the truth, is not just head knowledge. Some of you have head knowledge. Some of you know scripture. Some of you know how to pray. But here's the thing. Atheists have head knowledge. Buddhists have head knowledge. They know what the scripture says. The Quran has head knowledge of what the Bible says. But to know is to apply. It's not enough just to know it. You have to apply it. And that alone is solely based on your choice. What are you choosing? In verse number 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, confessing our sins doesn't mean a shallow reciting of misdeeds. What it truly means is it's owning up to the wrongdoings and bringing our lives in line with the goodness of God and his commandments. You see, what happens is we do a phenomenal job at preaching Jesus Christ, our Savior. We preach the Jesus that died on a cross, but also the same thing that describes Jesus Christ that died on a cross as our Savior, he is also our Lord. That word, Lord, it's ownership. Lord, it's all authority, all ruling. We love to confess Jesus Christ as our Savior, but is he your Lord? You see, in the Old Testament, and Pastor Travis talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as King Nebuchadnezzar, he made a command, and when a king makes a command, he can't go back on it. That's why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in the fiery furnace. A king made a decree. It's all authority. Everyone has to follow it. No exception. But God didn't become the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to dictate your life, but to have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lords of Lords. Not only did he say that you have to submit to it, but you also are set as an heir to the kingdom of God. You're of the royal bloodline when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But all too often, we know Jesus on the cross, but did you know Jesus got off the cross? Did you know Jesus is coming back? And written upon his side is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And your choices will dictate whether you're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, or you're going to hear, depart from me, for I never knew you. It's as simple as that. You see, confessing our sins, it's not a shallow reciting of God, well, I'm sorry, it's not a slap on the wrist. It has to be a complete supernatural transformation. And you have to renew your mind to get it. Change happens when change happens. Maybe you can't listen to the same things you listen to. Maybe you're going to have to change how you talk. Maybe you got to change what you watch. Change happens when change happens. Verse number 10, it says, and if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You see, if his word is not in us, the saving message of Christ has not taken root. You have an infatuation with the idea of a relationship with the Father rather than a genuine relationship with the Father. Infatuation, that's the word I was missing earlier. You have this idea, but not a commitment. You go through the religious motions, but it's not written upon your heart. There may be surface knowledge of Christ, but your heart has not been transformed. It takes humility and honesty to recognize our own weakness. And most of us, especially men, would rather just pretend we're strong than submit and be humble before the Lord. We'd rather just go through the motions. You see, repentance requires true brokenness. Repentance is not asking the Lord for forgiveness with the intent to sin again. The Bible says don't just be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word. Trying. I hear that all the time. I'm trying. Trying is still having the intent to fail. You're creating an escape goat. Well, I'm going to try, but if it doesn't work out, well, I might, but what if it doesn't work? What if it does work? What if you can let go of the bondage and the hurt that you've experienced in your life? What if you can walk in with the peace of the utmost at mind and the hope and the joy that only God can provide? What if you can be in the lowest of lows but yet still have peace that surpasses all understanding? But what are you going to choose? See, all too often, I love this scripture. It talks about the renewing of your mind, and it says that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Here's where it is. God did not give us a spirit of fear. All too often, we try to fight this thing in the natural, but you can't move a supernatural entity with a natural mindset. You struggle with fear. You struggle with anxiety. You struggle with depression. You struggle with this. You struggle with that. You struggle with anger. You have to recognize what it is. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. There's no coincidence, God, that they named three things. And I truly believe wholeheartedly that these three things have to coexist. It's not picking one or the other, but when you step in and you walk into the authority of God, you realize that you now have power through Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is Christ who strengthens you. You have power. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God loved you so much that even yet while you were in your sin, in the moments that you still cursed God, he said, I still love you. You have power. You have love. And you can have a sound mind. But if you don't choose the Holy Spirit, if you don't choose the gospel, if you don't choose to know the truth, you will always wrestle with that spirit of fear. You see, Paul divides people into two categories, those who are dominated by their flesh and sinful nature, and those who are guided by the Holy Spirit. We must choose Jesus every single day. I'm going to go to this in my first closing, part 1 of 9. You can laugh at that. That was a joke. But I want everybody on your feet. You see, we must choose Jesus every single day. Bible tells us to sacrifice our flesh daily. You see, through the presence of the Holy Spirit and through Jesus, see, you've gotten love, you got power, and you do have a sound mind. God says that he will give you the peace that surpasses all understanding. You may be in the deepest, darkest void of your life. You might have had the hardest year of your life. You may be stepping into a new season, whatever, what have you. However your story's written up. But you do not have to focus on that spirit of fear. Because here's the deal. A lot of times, I said this in the last message as well. For some reason, we've created a culture that we'd rather pray for our giants than slay our giants. God said he didn't give you the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. A lot of you coexist with your giant and you pray for your giant than slaying your giant. Well, I just live with anger. I live with depression. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you're more than a conqueror. You are victorious. You do not have to live in defeat, but you do have to go to war. It is your choice. I don't believe it, but maybe you can get into heaven by, well, actually, I don't believe it at all. I don't think you can get into heaven by having a participation trophy. You have to pick up the whole armor of God. You can't fight the supernatural with the natural mindset. You have to be all in. You can't be lukewarm. You got to be on fire for the Lord. See, if you've sincerely trusted Christ for your salvation and repented and acknowledged him as Lord and turned away from the darkness, then the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. And you are a blood-bought child of God. And since Jesus is the Lord, and not just the Savior, but the Lord of your life, then you will begin to act as Christ directs. You'll find help in your daily problems. You'll find breakthrough in your prayers. You will be empowered to serve and to do His will and to build His kingdom here upon this earth. Church, we got plenty of hearers. It's time to be a doer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Some of you have never truly experienced that transformation that we were talking about. Yeah, you might have said some words and you might have went through the religious notions of accepting Jesus Christ. You might have been sprinkled as a baby, what have you, but you've never truly surrendered and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I'm going to make it super simple in here this morning. Number one, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and you want to this morning, just raise your hand. It's just an honest assessment. God, I need you. Second thing is this, if you're in here and somehow you've gotten off track and you're going through this vicious cycle of insanity, there's addictions that have you, there's bondage that has you, and you're saying today, January 7th of 2024, I need freedom. If that's you in here today, if you don't mind, just raise your hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We're going to do two things. I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me, and here's why we do what we do. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that's the first thing we're going to do. And then the second thing is I'm going to pray for you. But one thing I do want to tell you, we do not give the devil enough credit. And here's what I mean. When Satan fell from heaven, he took a third of the angels with him. Some of you think you can outsmart this and that you can have that lukewarm lifestyle. That is exactly where the devil wants you. I'm telling you, he is smart enough to fool a lukewarm Christian. The Bible said, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you have power of life and death in the tongue. You have to change the way you speak. Because a lot of times we'll confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, but we go right back into our hole confessing other things. That I have fear, I have anxiety. You begin to think of these things. And this is why the Bible tells us that it's the renewing of our mind. You have to change how you think. Bible says, do not lean on your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll make straight your path. In all your ways, change how you think, change what you should say. Some of you are in a rut because you consistently speak death in your life. We're going to break that. You've heard the truth. You know the truth. Now it's time to experience freedom. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me so much that you would send Jesus Christ to die on a cross for me. You loved me even when I didn't love you. This morning, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Holy Spirit, I pray for a supernatural transformation. Transform my mind, transform my spirit, and to transform my heart. I am no longer conformed to this world, but I am transformed. I am now a blood-bought child of God, set to inherit the kingdom of God. This morning, I say, here I am, God. Send me. Now I want to pray over you just a minute. before you break up, I want to pray over you. But I also want to tell you this. You made a commitment. You can't just talk the talk, but you got to walk the walk. Faith without is dead. You can have all the faith in the world, but if your works does not back it up, you live a life of insanity. See, I told you, prayer does not cancel ignorance, but your obedience and being submissive to the Holy Spirit will cancel all ignorance. There's power in prayer. There's power in your words. But you can't just be hearers of the word. You got to be doers. Let me pray over you. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the word that went before. God, I thank you that your word will not return void, Lord. God, I thank you to those who are struggling and fighting to accept the word, Lord, that you will begin to show up and have a supernatural encounter in their life so that they will know with all of their knowing that you are our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ, God. God, I pray over each and every individual, Lord, as 2024, as it is heading in, Lord, and as we are stepping into this new chapter, this new season, that you are going to use each and every individual here at Arena Life of Church, God. God, that they are going to be more than conquerors, God. We understand that you didn't give us a spirit of fear, but we walk in love, we walk in power, we walk with a sound mind, Lord. God, I thank you for breakthrough. I thank you that bondage is being broken. I thank you for the testimonies that are going to come out of this church, Lord. I thank you that we are no longer hearers of the word, but we are doers of the word. God, I thank you for your love, and I thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray it, and everybody said, amen. Amen.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us on our podcast today. We pray that you heard from God and that this message was for you. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button and leave us a review. It helps us reach more people with this message. Arena of Life takes pride in connecting to God, to church, and to people. And we want to connect with you. So don't forget to check us out on all social media platforms, to check out our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, and to download the Church Center app, and to choose Arena of Life as your church. And a special thanks to those who make a difference by giving generously. You help us change lives and produce weekly content like this that reaches the world. If you're interested in partnering with us, you can give by clicking the link in our bio, through the website arenaoflifechurch.org, or through the Church Center app. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and we'll see you next week.